This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Unarmed response teams will be getting coverage for three new areas of LA, and here come the new iPhones 16s. But first, the South Bay Police Department reminding people not to leave valuables in the car, even for an instant. This comes after $1 million in cash. Yes, $1 million in cash was stolen from somebody's car near a school parking lot. Natalie Tavidian has more.
Why there was $1 million in a cardboard box, Manhattan Beach police wouldn't say to protect the privacy of the victim, but they were reportedly dropping off their kid at school, locked car doors, and walked away.
When they returned to their car, they discovered that one of the passenger windows was smashed. So inside the vehicle was a cardboard box containing approximately $1 million in cash.
What happened when police arrived? Sergeant Andre Abreu with Manhattan Beach PD suggests the crime was planned out.
During the investigation, the officers checked the victim's vehicle and discovered a GPS device affixed to the victim's vehicle. The officers confirmed with the victim that they never put tracking device on their vehicle.
He says if you work in a business where a lot of cash is involved or leaving the bank regularly with money, carrying valuables, change up your routine and check your car. He's urging anyone with information like surveillance footage to call Manhattan Beach PD. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
A new program that sends unarmed responders to some non-emergency calls in L.A. being expanded to three new areas. City Council voted to extend contracts with three companies to handle calls through 2025. New areas being added are the Olympic, West Valley, and West L.A. divisions. Those are areas where there is a gap in unarmed response coverage, according to a city report. Currently, five LAPD service areas with no unarmed response program. And after this expansion, there will be only two, North Hollywood and Topanga. Squatters and taggers have taken over a multi-million dollar mansion in the Hollywood Hills. People who live there want the city to do something about it. Karen Adams has more.
You wouldn't know you're in the Hollywood Hills looking at this property. Once a beautiful home here on Mulholland Drive, now abandoned. It's all tagged and boarded up. Windows are shattered. This week, the police had to chase people away. It's owned by the son of the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies. And Mateo Herreros, who lives here, recently sent him a message on Instagram.
Nobody mentioned his name, but I said, John Powers Middleton, come clean your house up. Nice.
Pat Johnston also lives here. She says they want Middleton's daddy to hear about what's going on.
We'd also like to get this on the news in Philadelphia, where the father of the property owner lives. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a serial, terrible landowner. That guy, there's another house he owns over on Sunset Plaza Drive.
The people here say they've reached out to LA City Councilwoman Nithya Raman's office several times. And in a statement, she says her office has been in contact with the LAPD and the Building and Safety Department about this property. Inspectors were here earlier going over it. Raman says Middleton is in violation of the law, and if he doesn't do anything to secure the property, the city will take action.
LA police detectives investigating the death of a man found very early this morning in Venice. Craig Figner at the scene.
LAPD got this call about 12:55 this morning of a man who had a very bad head injury in a parking lot that's essentially behind a tattoo shop. The tattoo shop faces Lincoln Boulevard, but then you drive down Arden and there's this parking lot behind the tattoo shop, and that's apparently where this person was found with this bad head injury, pronounced dead at the scene. The victim, as they're describing him, only is 30 to 40 years of age. No other information. They're also saying the cause of death is actually not confirmed despite the head injury, and they have no other information on a suspect. In Venice, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Fewer jobs being created in California. For most of the year, we saw growth of about 22 to 25,000 jobs a month. But the new state jobs report says that shrank to about 6,800 in August. Michael Burnick is the former director of the State Employment Development Department. He says almost all those new jobs were in one particular industry.
Leisure and hospitality, which has been a sector that the last couple months has plateaued, showed nearly 7,000 job gain itself. Without leisure and hospitality, we actually would have shown no net job gains across the economy.
Also, fewer jobs created in the construction industry. Despite big investments by the federal government, the manufacturing sector also lost jobs last month. Four of the eight Orange County firefighters hurt in a crash on the 241 toll road are said to be in pretty bad shape. The firefighters were coming back from a 12-hour shift at the airport fire when the drivers swerved for some reason. Maybe a ladder was in the road. Then they hit a guardrail, overturned. John Baird has more from Santa Ana.
Orange County fire officials say the crash is still under investigation, so they can't say for sure what caused the firefighting vehicle to swerve and then roll over. These are not regular fire trucks, but they're boxy vehicles that carry hand crew members up to some of the most rugged terrain to cut fire lines during wildfires. Fire Chief Brian Fennessy.
You know, they're heavy vehicles. They're, if you've seen a picture of them, they're very top heavy. So it wouldn't take much, you know, at speed, you know, for them to roll over.
A doctor here at the OC Global Medical Center says the two firefighters that were brought here are hurt pretty badly.
One, I would say, is critical but stable. The other remains quite critical still.
And the fire chief says everyone is struggling with what happened.
This is devastating for me personally, devastating for everybody in the fire service.
Two firefighters were treated for minor injuries Thursday night and released. Another one was about to be released from the hospital at some point today, but the rest could be hospitalized indefinitely, the chief said, for quite a while. In Santa Ana, I'm John Baird, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
We're talking to two college students about if young people are going to show up to vote in this election. Also, another settlement lawsuits for Johnson & Johnson baby power. That's all coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Well, cheers. Early this morning in New York City as Tim Cook turned up at the Apple store on Fifth Avenue with the new iPhones. Brand new iPhones going on sale. One couple very excited.
It's the first day of the iPhone 16 and 16 Pro release and the Apple Watch Series 10. We have one of each. We're ready to go.
Our first date spot was at the Apple Store, and our last date spot was at the Apple Store.
We're getting married tomorrow.
Husband and wife tomorrow.
So will everybody else be as excited? Maybe find a spouse. We're joined now live by tech expert and CBS News contributor Ian Schur. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
All right. So I myself have kept the struggling Apple company afloat because I spend all my money on Apple. I just bought an Apple, an iPhone 15 Pro Max a year ago. Is the 16 a big enough jump for me to upgrade, or should I wait for the 17?
Oh, that's such a trick question. So the thing is that if you are someone who tends to hold on to your phone for several years, then absolutely not. It makes a lot more sense just to wait. But if you are someone who wants to have the latest and greatest technologies, most of the reviewers out there who've already been able to play with it for about a week or so say that the camera is worth the upgrade if you're someone who cares about that, and that it is slightly faster, and that promise of the Apple Intelligence AI technology is very compelling. Now, it's not available yet. And also, I should note that people like you who have the iPhone 15 Pro, so they paid at least $1,000 last year, will get the AI technologies as well. So you don't even really have to upgrade your phone to get that. But it's going to be interesting to see whether or not people really see a lot of value in that and whether or not it drives people to these phones, because there's all this hype about AI, but there's a big question I think everyone has, which is whether or not it's actually going to rubber hit the road, right? Where it turns into an actual business thing instead of just a bunch of tech hype.
You know, the form factor of the iPhone hasn't really changed all that much. We get slightly bigger phones, yes, but the form factor is essentially the same that it's been for a while. Is form factor no longer a big deal? Does Apple now say we don't need to change the look of the phone all that much anymore? Or is there some surprise coming down the road?
But it's possible. So, you know, we definitely live in a world right now where a slab of glass on top of metal is basically what a phone is. There are some people trying to experiment. Notably, Samsung, for example, is probably one of the lead experimenters trying to do the foldable phone idea, right, with their Samsung Fold. And they're really nifty looking and they get good reviews from tech people, but they do not sell well, partially because they cost somewhere in the order of $1,600, $1,700, $1,800, almost the cost of an expensive Apple computer. And so that's part of why we continue to see the phones not changing much. Eventually, one believes that they're going to, this folding technology will get cheap and good enough that everyone will have it. But it's really hard to tell what the next thing is. That's part of why the tech industry is constantly trying new things, right? The VR goggles and AI and all this stuff. They're trying to figure out what comes after the phone, because in a lot of ways, no one's really been able to figure that out yet.
All right, what about you? Do you have the 16 yet?
So I do not have the 16 yet. And I'm actually really going to be watching to see how the response to the Apple Intelligence goes. I've been using it on my computer for the last few months, and it's been very interesting. But I'm really curious to see what it's going to be like when it starts becoming publicly available later this year.
All right, CBS News contributor Ian Schur, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Will young people show up to vote in this election? We will go in depth as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Pollsters say young voters could be crucial to deciding the election this year. We get more on the youth vote in our election show, Countdown 2024. Charles Feldman and Emily Valdez talk with UC Davis student Aiden Ledbetter, who is president of the California College Democrats, and first here, a UC Berkeley student, Martin Berteo, who chairs the California College Republicans.
Now, really what the young people, the youth vote is looking for is a candidate who's going to represent them into the future and provide for a better future and the American dream to actually be realized. I mean, if you look at what's happened, this specifically the Joe Biden administration, with housing prices surging 29%, inflation at an all-time high, groceries going up 15.4%, gas prices rising to $5 a gallon nationwide. I mean, young people, you know, we're just coming into the economy, we're coming into the workforce, leaving college. You know, we can't afford to live like this. Now, comparing what's going on right now to the Donald Trump administration, where you had the best economy in the history of our country, it is clear that young people prefer that economy, that language that, you know, the American dream is alive and well, compared to really the message that they're getting now under Joe Biden and really a continuation of his policies with Kamala Harris, and that the American dream is dead.
People your age don't tend to come out in large numbers. Do you think that this is going to be different this time around? And if so, why?
Yes, absolutely. I do think that this is going to be a different election for young people. I think young people are looking at this presidential election and looking at the two options that we have and are seeing a day and night difference for what our future prospects are, whether it be economic, social, our reproductive rights, and so much more. I think that young voters are looking for someone who speaks their language, recognizes their concerns, and someone who listens and acts on these concerns. And I think going into the ballot box, voters, especially young voters, are going to be thinking about that.
The economy, you still got your parents most of the time at this point. Aiden, why don't you talk about that? How does the economy play out, and what are the biggest issues for young people?
Yeah. Well, I do think the economy still does acutely affect young people, whether it is in a different facet than some of our older friends in the community. But young people do still face the issues of student loan debts. Young people do want to start businesses and eventually buy a home. And I think these economic struggles are something that young voters still are thinking about, maybe to like in different contexts. But for young voters, there's more at stake than just the economy. Young voters are thinking about the existential threat that climate change poses to our future. I think for too long now, they have seen the federal government not taking strong enough actions to address gun safety in our schools, our churches, our malls, and in our lives. We are growing up in a time where our economic prospects, our social rights, our reproductive freedoms are less than our parents were.
On social media, is there a big push to get young people to vote? Because if you look at the age ranges, your age group has the lowest number of voters percentage-wise.
I would say definitely so. And I think that, you know, specifically for the youth conservative vote, you can just look at polling in recent years. I mean, now is the first time really, you know, in decades, that specifically young men leaving high school now identify as conservatives more than as liberals. And that really can be seen, you know, online, social media, but also in person, the conversations that I have and that a lot of my chapter presidents have on their college campuses. When we conduct polls now on college campuses, Trump actually wins in a lot of those polls.
A Countdown 2024 airs on KNX at 2:30 weekday afternoons and weeknights at 8 p.m. all the way through the election. It's also available on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and then follow the show. 5:21, your money. Here's Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Maybe the third time will be different. A unit of Johnson & Johnson, Red River Talc, has again filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in an effort to settle all claims that its baby powder and other talc products caused ovarian cancer. The company says Red River is now offering more than $8 billion to settle the cases, and it says about 83% of claimants support that. One of the two nuclear reactors at the site of the worst nuclear disaster in U.S. history could be up and running again by 2028. That's because of a deal between the owner of the Three Mile Island nuclear plant near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Microsoft. Constellation Energy plans to put more than $1.5 billion into restarting the reactor shut down in 2019. Now, the other one at the site has been permanently closed since its partial meltdown in 1979. On Wall Street, a record for the Dow on a gain of 38 points. The NASDAQ fell 66, the S&P 11. I'm Bloomberg's Joan Doniger, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Friday, September 20th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.